بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين، وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, every good deed that is performed on this earth is a blow to the devil. Whatever virtuous action an individual performs is a source of failure, defeat and humiliation for the devil. And in the same breath and in the same vein, every vice perpetrated, every offense committed, every crime that a person indulges in is a source of triumph, victory and accomplishment for the devil. So whenever you commit any offense, the devil is rejoicing. He is excited, he is elated, he is ecstatic that you've committed a crime. However, there are certain offenses that gives the devil a greater sense of joy. There are certain crimes, every crime makes him happy. But certain crimes, when you commit it, he's happy for the day, he's happy for the week, he's happy for the month. And one such crime is when the devil successfully infiltrates and separates two individuals. Whether he divides a couple, or he divides siblings, or he creates a rift in society, the devil is rejoicing. The verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopt pardon, adopt pardon. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, advocate nobility and virtue. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and ignore the ignorant and the evil people. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith mentioned that Uyayna ibn Hisn asked his nephew Hur bin Qais radiyallahu anhu, who was very close to Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. Now the cabinet of Umar radiyallahu anhu was the Qurra. Kuhulan kanu aw shubbana. Kuhulan kanu aw shubbana. Those that were learned and were well versed in the sciences of Islam, they formed the cabinet of Umar, whether they were young or they were old. So Hur ibn Qais radiyallahu anhu was amongst those people that were very, very close and enjoyed great proximity in the court of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. So he said to him that negotiate and facilitate a meeting for me with the Amirul Mu'mineen. So anyway, Hur ibn Qais radiyallahu anhu said, my uncle is visiting you in Medina, O Umar. Would you spare him a moment? He wants to meet with you. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu acceded to the request. He acceded to the request, and Hur ibn Qais radiyallahu anhu ushers his uncle Uyayna ibn Hisn into the court of Umar radiyallahu anhu. When the uncle comes into the court, he was bitter, he was crude, he was harsh, he was uncultured, he was hostile. Wallahi ma tu'atina al-jazl, wa la tahkum baynana bil-adl. Umar, I've got a lot of issues to pick with you. You have no justice, you have no discipline, you don't have any mannerism in you. And he was venting with Umar. Hur ibn Qais radiallahu anhu said, with great difficulty I negotiated this meeting, I facilitated this meeting. My uncle is here today and he leaves tomorrow. I got to live with Umar. So I looked at it and I said, Ya Allah, how am I going to deal with this situation? I was taken off on the back foot. I didn't anticipate this. So obviously, Sahaba wa kana waqafan 'inda kitabillah. Wakana waqafan 'inda kitabillah. The only language that appealed to Sahaba was Quran. The language with which you could negotiate and strike a deal and reach out to them was Quran. My mind digresses into an incident And inshallah I will come back to this topic. There's an incident mentioned in Qurtubi about Ismail rahimahullah. Is mentioned in the 13th volume. He says, one day I was walking, and while I was walking, I heard one young girl, tunshidu ash'aran. She was singing couplets. And in this couplets, she was actually repenting and lamenting her crime. But her voice was so sweet that while she was repenting, I was sinning. She was making tawbah, and her tawbah was the source of a sin for me. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِذَنْبِي قَبَّلْتُ إِنسَانًا بِغَيْرِ حِلِّهِ مِثْلُ الْغَزَالِ نَاعِمًا فِي دَلِّهِ وَانْتَصَفَ اللَّيْلُ وَلَمْ أُصَلِّهِ. So he said, I am walking and I heard this. I said, قَاتَلَكِ اللَّهُ مَا أَفْصَحَكِ يَا فَتَاتِ. I said, sister, wow, that's awesome, that's amazing. I never heard words like this. So look at this girl. She's making tawbah. In essence, she was involved in an illicit relation. And she says, oh my Lord, forgive me that I had unlawful, illegitimate, illicit relation with a strange man. And I regret and I lament it. Now look at Quran. So this girl said to me, أَوَيُعَدُّ هَذَا فَصَاحَ بَعْدَ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. What an audacity to refer to my speech as articulate and eloquent when the entire Quran is brimming with profound speech of Allah. I mean, any person, when you praise him, he gets inflated. And let a woman praise a man, there's no limits to his inflation. There is no limits. His inflation pierces through the roof. And by the way, brother, she wasn't praising you, she was praising the man behind you. But he felt so conceited. What's the definition of a conceited person? One whose head expands, but his brain shrinks. Who is a conceited person? His head expands, but his brain shrinks. So he said, أَوَيُعَدُّ هَذَا فَصَاحَ بَعْدَ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ. How can you call what I say eloquent when the verse of the Quran? Then she read one verse. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. جمعت هذه الآية على وجازتها بين أمرين ونهيين وخبرين وبشارتين. They said, this ayah, I don't want to go into the details, it's academic and it will take a lot of time. It's so brief and comprehensive, but there are two injunctions in this ayah, there are two prohibitions in this ayah, there are two glad tidings in this ayah, and there are two informations in this ayah. Ismail rahimahullah said, when I heard what this woman told me and she directed my attention to Quran, she directed, leave anything and everything, focus yourself on Quran. So, Hur ibn Qais said, when I looked at my uncle's reaction and the manner in which he spoke, I said, how am I going to approach Umar? I said, let me focus Umar on Quran, and I read this verse. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So, yeah, my uncle is provoking, he's inciting, he's uttering things that are obviously creating rage in Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And I recited the verse at the right time. Now our reaction is, brother, don't read the ayah to me, go read it to yourself. That's the way we would react. Why are you telling me? But he said Sayyidina Umar was وَكَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. People talk of ABS brakes. That instantly, abruptly, you can just apply. And that was exactly Sayyidina Umar. I seen blood gushing into his cheeks. I seen rage coming into him. Umar radiallahu anhu by his nature was strong. Umar radiallahu anhu by his nature was robust. That is why when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu appointed Umar as the Khalifa prior to his demise, people said to him, oh Abu Bakr, what will you tell Allah? So he said, أَبِاللَّهِ تُخَوِّفُونَنِي أَبِاللَّهِ تُخَوِّفُونَنِي. Are you trying to create fear in me that I have appointed Umar
to be in charge and succeed me after my demise? By Allah. Then he asked them, what's the issue? What's the reservation? They said, Umar is so stern in your presence, imagine in your absence. And he said, by Allah, I have no doubt that the burden of Khilafah will soften Umar. The burden of Khilafah will soften Umar. So when I recited the verse, I just seen calmness, serenity, composure, balance, setting into Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And immediately it was nipped into the bud, and that wave that had erupted had completely settled, and the ambience was totally calm and relaxed. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh under this ayah writes something very amazing in his tafsir. He says the entire Quran advocates nobility, conduct, virtue, sublime character. But three verses summarize it. Three verses in the entire Quran speak about good character, and it is a synopsis and a highlight of all good character. This is the first verse. The second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Mu'minun, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ. Resist their evil. Resist their evil. We are acquainted with what they blurt. We are acquainted with what they blurt. The third verse in the 24th juz, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Evil and good can never be the same. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Resist vice in a noble way. Resist provocative language in a dignified way. What is the result of this formula? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Instantly you would see your arch enemy will become your closest friend and your bosom friend. Now that's a clear, basic translation of the ayah. But Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, if you look at all these three ayat, in each verse, after Allah advocating nobility of conduct, thereafter Allah says, ask me protection from the devil. Immediately Allah says, display good character and ask me protection. So he says, from this we deduce that if anybody rejoices on division, it's the devil. And if anybody becomes an obstacle in facilitating peace, it's the devil. So the first verse that we recited, Allah says, adopt pardon, promote virtue, and ignore the ignorant. And immediately after that, Allah said, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Now when you want to pardon and you want to forgive, then the devil is going to come and inject your mind and indoctrinate your mind. And what do we say? No, my istikhara is not clear. It's not istikhara, it's devilish indoctrinations. Someone said in the English language, forgive your brother. Not because he deserves the forgiveness, but you deserve the peace. Forgive your brother. Not because he deserves the forgiveness, you deserve the peace. You don't need to sleep with a heavy heart. You don't need to sleep cooking ideas and planting thoughts. You don't need to sleep harboring malice, discord and rancor. So Allah says, when you're going to forgive, the devil is going to come and block the airwaves. He's going to come and cloud the atmosphere. The second verse in the 18th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ السَّيِّئَةِ نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّ أَنْ يَحْذُرُونَ. Immediately after that, when Allah says forgive, then make dua, oh my Lord, save me from the presence of the devil, from the indoctrination of the devil, from the injection of the devil. Because the devil is going to come and cloud your mind with a thousand ideas. In the third instance which I mentioned, the third ayah in the 24th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ. Again, the same thing. That when you're going to forgive, then what's going to happen? The devil is going to come. So, when I have an issue to pick with my brother, a bone to pick and a contentious issue, and there are differences that have divided us, then I haven't taught him a lesson, or he hasn't taught me a lesson, but the devil has taught us both a lesson. The devil has taught us both a lesson. Imam Hakim makes mention of a narration. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, we were sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Idhahika. Suddenly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And in that his blessed teeth got exposed. So I said, ma adhahakaka ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Hakim, and he's mentioned Sahihul Asnad as well. It's authentic by the definition of the scholars of hadith in terms of grading it. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you cry? What makes you laugh? He said, Rajulani min ummati jathaya bayna yaday rabbil izzah. I can actually visualize a scene that will unfold on the day of Qiyamah when two people from this ummah will be kneeling before Allah. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا جَثَى. They will be kneeling before Allah. One will say, يَا رَبِّ خُذْ لِي مَظْلِمَتِي مِنْ أَخِي. Oh my Allah, my brother had exploited me, he had abused me, he had inflicted me, he had insulted me, and I had persevered in this world, I had endured in this world, and I was promised that these discrepancies will be addressed on the day of Qiyamah. So I asked for my right for the injustice that my brother had inflicted on me. خُذْ لِي مَظْلِمَتِي مِنْ أَخِيرٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address this person and say, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِأَخِيكَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْءٍ. Listen, what claim do you want to make from this man? His reserves are depleted. The man is dry. He doesn't have any good deeds to his account. What claim do you want to make? So this man will be so desperate, he will say, فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِي. فَلْيَحْمِلْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِ. Oh my Allah, if he cannot give me any of his credit, then he must lighten my burden and liabilities. If he cannot add to me, then he must subtract from my liabilities. وَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالْبُكَى ثُمَّ قَالْ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ يَحْتَاجُ النَّاسُ أَن يُحْمَلَ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that will be desperation reaching its pinnacle manifestation, that a man will be so desperate, that if he cannot be aided and assisted with credit and good deeds, he will say, okay brother, then take some of my zina and some of my vice, but lighten my burden. My desperation doesn't allow me to negotiate otherwise. Then Allah will address the man who's laying the claim. Allah will say to him, irfa' basarak. Brother, lift your gaze and look. Look in that direction. So he will look. Allah will say, what do you see? He will say, أَرَى مَدَائِنَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَقُسُورٍ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ مُكَلَّلَةً بِاللُّؤْلُؤِ لِأَيِّ نَبِيٍّ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ صِدِّيقٍ هَذَا أَوْ لِأَيِّ شَهِيدٍ هَذَا. Oh my Allah, I can see these palatial homes of paradise. I can see these gardens of paradise. The ni'mats of Jannah, the bounties of Jannah. فَمَا شِئْتَ خُذْ مِنْهُ بِلَا ثَمَنٍ لَهُ فَقَدْ أَسْلَفَ التُّجَّارُ فِيهِ وَأَسْلَمُوا. فَمَا شِئْتَ خُذْ مِنْهُ بِلَا ثَمَنٍ لَهُ فَقَدْ أَسْلَفَ التُّجَّارُ فِيهِ وَأَسْلَمُوا. Whatever you want, you can take, because the merchants of Jannah had paid in advance. فَبَيْنَمَا هُمْ فِي عَيْشِهِمْ وَسُرُورِهِمْ إِذْ تَجَلَّى لَهُمْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ جَهْرَةً فَيُسَلِّمُ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ ثُمَّ يَضْحَكُ. Allah, I can see these gardens, this palatial homes, these amenities, these embellishments, these beautiful, beautiful homes. I guess it's designated for the prophets. I assume it's reserved for the martyrs. I guess you have allocated this for your chosen servants. Allah will say, no, no, لِمَنْ أَعْتَى الثَّمَنِ. Anybody who pays the price can buy it. Anybody who pays the price can buy it. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَمْلِكُ ذَلِكَ. Oh my Allah, who can ever secure and procure a home in the eternal gardens of Jannah? Allah says, you can pay for it. Allah, if I can pay, tell me, I'll pay you now. بِعَفْوِكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ. بِعَفْوِكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ. If you can forgive your brother now, I will give you this Jannah permanently. Oh my Allah, then I will forgive him instantly. Allah will then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Allah will tell him, now hold your brother's hand that you have forgiven him and both of you is going to Jannah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم فإن الله يصلح بين المسلمين. Fear Allah and reconcile. It's such a noble action. Even Allah will do it between His bondsmen on the day of Qiyamah. Ibn Mundhir makes mention of a narration on the strength of Sha'bi. One day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Inni la'ubghidhu fulanan. Inni la'ubghidhu fulanan. I dislike this person. I despise this person. Humans are social creatures. And no human is an island. In our social interaction, we are bound to differ. We are bound to err. We are bound to have discord. This is our nature. That's how we coexist. إِنِّي لَأُبْغِذُ فُلَانًا. I despise so-and-so. فَلَمَّا كَثُرَ. When Sayyidina Umar repeated it, I've got differences with this man. I differ with this man. قِيلَ لِلرَّجُلِ. It was said to the man, مَا شَأْنُ عُمَرْ يُبْغِذُكَ. Why, what's your problem? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu has an issue with you. So he came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, O Umar, أَفَتَقْتُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَتْقَى أَجَنَيْتُ جِنَايَ أَحْدَثْتُ حَدَثًا. Umar, I have three questions to ask you. أَفَتَقْتُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَتْقًا. Have I created a rift and division between the Muslim Ummah? Sayyidina Umar said, no, you haven't. You haven't. I cannot prejudice you. I cannot bias you. I cannot be anti you for something you have not committed. Okay, أَجَنَيْتُ جِنَايَةً. Have I perpetrated an unpardonable crime? He said, no. أَحْدَثْتُ حَدَثًا. Have I innovated any innovation in Islam? No. فَعَلَامَ تُبْغِذُنِي. فَعَلَامَ تُبْغِذُنِي. Then, O Umar, why are you despising me? Remember, Umar, Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Those who hurt, insult, and cause pain to the believing male and female for no crime on their part, they have committed a major offense and this constitutes a blatant slander. فَلَا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا عُمَرُ. Umar, I am not going to pardon you for what you have done. You are grudging me for no justifiable reasons. Now let's just reflect for a moment before I take it further. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was a man who enjoyed every possible accolade that your mind can run and imagine. If one man in the Muslim Ummah did not speak to Umar, it did not blemish the character of Umar. It did not dent the identity of Umar. Umar was sitting so high that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بَاهَا بِالنَّاسِ عَشِيَّةَ عَرَفَ عَمَّةً وَبَاهَا بِعُمَرْ خَصَّةً. After the night of Arafah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, congratulations. MashaAllah, all of you did well. Allah was boasting about every one of you. But Umar, Allah was exceptionally fascinated with your performance. Umar, you stole the show. You were the man of the match. The podium was yours. The narration of Ibn Asakir, مَا مِن مَلَكٍ مُقَرَّبٍ. There is no angel إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُوَقِّرُ عُمَرُ, but that he reveres, honors, and salutes Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. There is a narration in Kanzul Ummal, there was one woman who was mentally impaired. She was mentally impaired. So she used to come out in the streets and cause a bit of mayhem and distract people. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ جَلَسْتِ فِي بَيْتِكَ. sister, if you sit at home and I will take care of all your chores. So this was an active aspect of the Islamic empire, to take care of those that were incapacitated, those that were physically challenged, those that were mentally impaired. Right? This is an active role and responsibility. To the extent that the non-Muslims living under the Muslim rule, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu seen one non-Muslim walking and he was going around begging. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, "We have not been faithful to you. We have not honored you correctly. We took indemnity taxes from you in your youth, and now we have burdened you to beg in your old age. Sit in your house and I will take care of your needs." Ma ansafnak, ma ansafnak. So Sayyidina Umar told this woman, "Sister, you sit at home, I'll look after you." When Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, someone went to this woman and said, Inna alladhi nahaki qad mat fakhruji. Sister, the one who prohibited you from coming out, he passed away. Now you can come out. You can come out. She said, Ma kuntu li uti'ahu hayyan wa a'siyahu mayyita. Umar was a man that I wouldn't want to obey while he's alive and disobey after he passed away. I love and honor and respect that man, that I will value his words equally after his death as I treasured it while he was alive. I'm saying Umar had a clean slate. He had a noble record. He had an issue with one individual. Umar could have told this man, "Tough luck. Tough luck. Who needs you, my brother?" فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ. If you want to translate this, Umar grabbed onto his robe and Umar kneeled down. He said, "My brother, I am begging you, please forgive me. I don't want to die with one man not speaking to me." فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ حَتَّى غَفَرَ لَهُ. Umar radiallahu anhu held him and he said, "Please, my brother, for Allah's sake." Umar's whole record is clean. I always say, when Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha told regarding Safiya radiallahu anha, "Hasbuka min Safiyyata kada wa kada ta'ni qasira," she made a remark inadvertently, but it constituted derogatory speech. And she said, "O Nabi of Allah, my co-wife, your spouse, she's so short. It about to kiche. I don't know what you say. She's very short. Ta'ni qasira." Nabi Sassam said, "Laqad kulti kalima. Oh my Aisha, you are pure. Your lips are pure. Your speech is pure. But today you uttered such an impure word that if it has to be diluted in the water, it will contaminate the oceans of the world." I wonder, my brother, if an impure word from a pure tongue and pristine lips and a noble personality has the potential to pollute and dilute and contaminate the waters of the world. My existence is wicked. My nature is evil. My utterances are incorrect. Can you imagine when I utter words through which I divide the ummah, how I will fall in the esteem of Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, sometimes a man utters a word, "Inna al-'abda la yatakallam bil kalimati min sakhatillah la yara biha ba'sa." Sometimes you just make a remark, derogatory, inflammatory, condescending, nasty, wicked, vituperative. You just throw a remark, "Oh, he thinks the world of himself. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got an attitude. La yara biha ba'sa." You don't make much of it. If I don't tell him, somebody else would tell him. I think it's about time. يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ بَعَدْ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. That sentence is so expensive that it cost you a fall in hell, the distance which exceeds the distance between the east and the west. It is so catastrophic. Umar radiallahu anhu held on to the man, begged him until he forgave him. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ حَتَّى غَفَرَ لَهُ. The occasion is Tabuk. The narration is in Hayatu al-Sahaba. حُزْنُ al-Sahaba عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ الْخُرُوجِ وَعَدَمِ الْإِنْفَاقِ. Some Sahaba could not spend in the path of Allah because they didn't have the financial clout and the economic muscle.
وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ.
There is no reproach, there is no blame, there is no insult on those innocent people who have nothing. They come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you also say, لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. I have nothing to equip you, I have nothing to provide you. تَوَلَّوْا they turn, وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ, and tears well up in their eyes, حَزَنًا, out of the intensity of regret, Allah yajidu, that they do not find what they can donate and contribute. There is a narration of a Sahabi by the name of Ulba. Ulba ibn Zayd ibn Haritha, qala al-Bazzar, rajulun mashhurun min al-Ansar. Ulba ibn Zayd ibn Haritha, radiyallahu anhu. He gets up that night. This hadith makes my hair stand on end. Allahumma innaka amartana wa raghabtana thumma lam taj'al 'indi ma ataqawwa bihi. Oh my Allah, you have instructed us to spend in your path, you've exhorted us, you've encouraged us, and then by your own will and decree you haven't given me to spend. You see, this was the pious, when they made dua, it was just not dua, it was a mukalama with Allah. It was a munajat with Allah. Ilahi kayfa ad'uka. Ilahi kayfa ad'uka wa ana aasi. Wa kayfa la ad'uka wa anta kareemu. Ilahi kayfa ad'uka wa ana aasi. Wa kayfa la ad'uka wa anta kareemu. Allah, I don't know how to lift these hands up, because these hands are wicked. These hands have roamed in forbidden places. Allah, I don't have the guts. Allah, I don't know how to make dua to you. No, man, these hands have touched a lot of wrong. So I don't know how to... But then how do I not ask you when you are so forgiving also? Allah, there is a contradiction here. I don't have the muscle. How do I lift these hands? They've done every vice. But then, كَيْفَ لَا أَدْعُوكَ وَأَنْتَ كَرِيمُ. Your clemency, your pardon, your forgiveness is so much. I always mention this incident of Umayr ibn Wahab and it makes me tear. He said, إِلَهِ خَلَقْتَنِي بِأَمْرِكَ وَأَقَمْتَنِي فِي بَلَايَا هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا بِمَشِيئَتِكَ ثُمَّ قُلْتَ لِي إِسْتَمْسِكْ وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ أَسْتَمْسِكُ إِنْ لَمْ تُمْسِكْنِي. إِلَهِ خَلَقْتَنِي بِأَمْرِكَ. Allah, I'm not here because I wanted to be born. I'm here because you ordained my existence. Then you created me in a period you decreed. Then you subjected me to all these temptations. And you've created in me all these desires. And then you told me refrain and abstain and don't succumb. I'm only asking you, if you're not going to help me, how am I going to achieve this? This was a munajat. This was a mukalama with Allah. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, when he asked Allah for a child, he didn't just say, Allah, give me a child. رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. Oh my Allah, my hair is gone white. My hair is gone white. You know, there's a very beautiful Arabic poem that I commonly quote. A person went to the doctor, he said, سَأَلْتُ مِنَ الْأَطِبَّى خَبِيرًا ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ مِمَّ شَيْبِي. سَأَلْتُ مِنَ الْأَطِبَّى خَبِيرًا ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ مِمَّ شَيْبِي فَقَالَ بَلْ غَمُوا فَقُلْتُ لَهُ لَقَدْ اخْتَأْتَ بَلْ غَمُوا. If you understand Arabic, you can appreciate this. سَأَلْتُ مِنَ الْأَطِبَّى خَبِيرًا ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ مِمَّ شَيْبِي. I went to a doctor and I said, I'm aging. I'm getting white hair. And the other day my kids were telling me, Abu, I can see it coming out. And they tell me, don't say we caused it. I said, you know you caused it and you're saying that, don't say that. Anyway, mimma shaybi, where is this white hair coming from? Faqala balghamu. He said, balgham, you got phlegm. Now, murakkab and all that, I don't want to go into academics here. I said to him, لَقَدْ اخْتَأْتَ. No, doctor, you have erred. This is not بَلْغَمُ. This is بَلْغَمُ. بَلْغَمُ. This is depression. This is the worries of this dunya that has made my hair white. That is what has happened to me. Anyway, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ أَمَرْتَنَا. Oh Allah, you've instructed us. وَرَغَّبْتَنَا. You've encouraged us. ثُمَّ لَمْ تَجْعَلْ عِنْدِي. Then you haven't given me. I cannot imagine not donating. You see, this is the amazing thing. Today we say that I am restricted, I don't have. But look at the spirit of Sahaba. Oh Allah, we have been encouraged, but I don't have. But I cannot imagine that I do not make a donation. وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ بِكُلِّ مَظْلِمَةٍ أَصَابَنِي فِي مَالٍ أَوْ جَسَدٍ أَوْ عِرْضٍ. I've given you the reference, you can read it. I read it a few times and I've quoted it. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ بِعِرْضِي عَلَى مَنْ نَالَهُ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ عَلَى عِرْضِي بِمَنْ نَالَهُ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ. Oh my Allah, I don't have wealth, I don't have monetary contribution, but I want to also donate. And my donation is, Allah, any and every Muslim, nay by extension, any of your creation that has insulted me, violated me, or offended me, or will insult me, I have forgiven them in the past. Until the day I die, I have forgiven them all. Allah, this is my intangible, invisible donation to the campaign. This is my intangible, invisible donation to the campaign. I don't have anything. Certain Sahaba came and gave large amounts. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. They were mocking. Abdurrahman ibn Auf gave a handsome amount. He said, oh, Mura'in, this man is trying to impress people. And Abu Uqayl radiallahu anhu came with a small amount. Oh, this is such a lousy donation. It's not going to help in any way. So the munafiq started passing their comments and their criticism. Anyway, Ulba radiallahu anhu said, Allah, I've forgiven everybody. I've forgiven everybody. The next day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathered the Sahaba. He said, Manil mutasaddiqul bariha. Last night somebody gave sadaqah. Will you please come forward? Again, the man didn't consider his charity to get recognition. So he sat in his corner. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Manil mutasaddiqu bi'irdihi al bariha. Last night somebody gave charity by donating his self-esteem, by compromising his dignity. Can he come forward? So Ulba radiallahu anhu very modestly inches forward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abshir fa walladhi nafsi biyadihi laqad kutibat fi zakatil mutaqabbala. Congratulations, I have received divine acknowledgement and endorsement that Allah has accepted your donation the most. لَقَدْ كُتِبَتْ فِي الزَّكَاةِ الْمُتَقَبَّلَةِ. Your donation of forgiving and pardon, Allah has accepted it. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, قَالُوا سَكَتَّ وَقَدْ خُوسِمْتَ. قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ. Somebody came to me and they said, oh Muhammad bin Idris, the people are telling you so much, why are you keeping quiet? Ye to tumne bo bole, inu dachu bo chale. He's got a big mouth. He's got a lot to say. Why don't you respond? Why don't you retort?
قَالُوا سَكَتَّ وَقَدْ خُوسِمْتَ قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ
I said retorting is opening a can of worms. Retorting is opening a can of worms.
قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا لِسَوْنِ الْعِرْضِ إِصْلَاحُ
And in that, when I observe silence, is the preservation and the reformation of my own self.
أَمَا تَرَى الْأُسُدَ تُخْشَى وَهِيَ صَامِتَةٌ وَالْكَلْبُ يُخْسَى لَعُمْرِي وَهُوَ نَبَّاحُ
Have you not observed a lion is silent, yet it is feared, while a dog is barking away, yet people are hurling stones towards it? Don't you see a lion is silent? Go in the wild and see, it doesn't speak, but it's the king of the jungle. It dictates. Silence, yet it's the king. And the dog is talking away one way.
وَالْكَلْبُ يُخْسَى لَعُمْرِي وَهُوَ نَبَّاحُ
Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi has also mentioned in one other poem of his, and this is so amazing.
مَنْ نَالَ مِنِّي أَوْ عَلِقْتُ بِذِمَّتِهِ أَبْرَأْتُهُ لِلَّهِ شَاكِرَ مِنَّتَهُ أَأَرَى مُعَوِّقَ مُؤْمِنٍ يَوْمَ الْجَزَاءُ أَوْ هَلْ أَسُوءُ مُحَمَّدًا فِي أُمَّتِهِ مَنْ نَالَ مِنِّي أَوْ عَلِقْتُ بِذِمَّتِهِ
Anybody who has offended me, insulted me, or violated me, I have forgiven him, not because he deserves it, but because of the kindness of my Allah upon me.
أَأَرَى مُعَوِّقَ مُؤْمِنٍ يَوْمَ الْجَزَاءُ
Do I want somebody's entry in paradise to be suspended because of my lack of pardon? I don't want to appear on the day of Qiyamah and say that man has been put on hold because you haven't pardoned him.
أَوْ هَلْ أَسُوءُ مُحَمَّدًا فِي أُمَّتِهِ
Or am I prepared to bring displeasure, pain and harm to the heart of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purely because I have not forgiven him? Husayn radiallahu anhu had a brother from one of the other wives of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. There was some difference between the brothers. They shared a common father, a different mother. Muhammad bin Ali, and this was Husayn bin Ali radiallahu anhuma. So Muhammad bin Ali writes to his brother Husayn bin Ali, أَمَّا بَعْدْ
فَإِنَّ لَكَ فَضْلًا لَا أُدْرِكُهُ وَشَرَفًا لَا أَبْلُغُهُ
Listen, oh my brother, I must be very honest, Allah has favored you. You're a great man and I cannot reach your rank.
Abuna Ali, your father is Ali, my father is Ali. La ufaddiluka fihi wa la tufaddiluni fihi.
We share a common father. But your mother is Fatima radiallahu anha and my mom is not Fatima radiallahu anha. I'm born from another wife of my dad. If the whole world was full with women like my mother, ma wafayna bi ummik. مَا وَافَيْنَ بِأُمِّكَ They cannot equal the rank of your mother. You know for a fact, my brother, we're having this difference of opinion and we're having this issues amongst us. I don't want this to perpetuate further. And I want to hasten in reconciling. But the reward of reconciliation is so great that I feel out of your respect, I should offer you the proposal first that you come and reconcile with me so you can walk away with the reward. But if you're going to delay, then I'm going to exploit and I will knock your door to apologize.
فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ رُقْعَتِي
When you read my letter, then hasten
وَإِيَّاكَ أَنْ أَسْبِقَكَ إِلَى هَذَا الْفَضْلِ الَّذِي أَنْتَ أَوْلَى بِهِ مِنِّي
I want to come right now and I want to patch up with you, my brother. And I feel I owe you the right that you walk away with this great reward. Hence, I'm giving you the opportunity.
Surah Munafiqun.
Allah speaks about it in great detail in which Allah exposes the Munafiqeen in the Quran.
If you look at what prompted the revelation of this verse, Muhammad ibn Ishaq's narration, the sixth year of Hijri, the month of Sha'ban. Qatada's narration, the fifth year of Hijri, the month of Sha'ban. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told that Harith bin Zirar, who later became radiyallahu anhu, the father of Juwayriyah radiyallahu anha, the honorable spouse and the noble consort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had mobilized his army to launch an attack against the Muslims. So in response to that, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered his sahaba and they went out and they came to a well which was known as Muraysi'. That is why it's known also as the campaign of Muraysi'. There was an intense crossfire of arrows and Allah gave victory to the Muslims and the opposite army was defeated and they had to retreat. It was over, pretty much a victory, all done, everything fine. But here comes something that corrupts the joy and the ambience amongst the Muslims. At the well there, while they were drawing water, they came out a racial slur, a connotation of ethnicity that broke out between a Muhajir and an Ansar over the water. So there was an altercation in taking out the water, your water, my bucket, your bucket, my rope, your rope. And it became a bit bitter and ugly. It became to and fro, back and forward. And amongst the two Sahaba, on the side of the Muhajirin was Jahjah radiyallahu anhu. On the side of the Ansar was Sinan ibn Wabra al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu. So when it got ugly and bitter, the Muhajir said, Ya lal Muhajirin. Oh my Muhajir brothers, come out. Calling out to his group. Calling out to his tribe. Calling out the slogan of ethnicity. And the Ansar said, Ya lal Ansar. Ya lal Ansar. Where's my Ansari cronies and colleagues? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this. He said, Ma balu da'wal jahiliyyah. Ma balu da'wal jahiliyyah. Am I hearing the slogans of ignorance? Da'uha fa innaha muntina. Da'uha fa innaha muntina. Put an end to this. Stop this. Don't call out. Help a human because he's a human. Not because he's of your color or complexion or tribe or ethnicity. He's a human. Al-khalqu iyalullah. Wa ahabbu al-khalqi ila Allahi man ahsana ila iyali. The entire creation, Muslim or non-Muslim, he shares your citizenship or not. He shares your ethnicity or not. Help him because he's a fellow creature. Nay, help the animal. Alana fil bahaimi ajrun. Alana fil bahaimi ajr. O Nabi of Allah, if you help the animals, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, help any creature, Allah will give you jannat. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Amitul batil bitarki dhikrihi. Amitul batil. Put an end to falsehood by not discussing it. Now I come and tell you what he said, but I tell you, listen, I'm telling you, but don't tell anyone. And you tell him, I'm only telling you because he told me, but you don't tell him that anyone told him. Where are we going with this? أَمِيتُ الْبَاطِلَ بِتَرْكِ ذِكْرِهِ مَا بَالُ دَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ In Bukhari Sharif, in the very beginning, one person said, I met Abu Dharr bin Rabda, وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةِ وَعَلَى حُلَامِ وَعَلَى غُلَامِهِ حُلَّةِ I seen the master and slave were clad in the same dress. So I said, master and slave, same clothing, what is this? Have you been demoted or has your slave been promoted? He said, عَيَّرْتُهُ بِأُمِّهِ And in Qastalani, it's mentioned there, I said to him, يَبْنَ السَّوْدَى عَيَّرْتُهُ بِأُمِّهِ I made a racial slur and I said some derogatory remarks. Nabi Sallallahu said, يَا أَبَا ذَرٍ إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ Abu Dharr, you're my companion, you're very close to me, you're a devout sahabi, but I get the stench of ignorance still emitting from your utterances. Abu Dharr, imagine a sahabi, we are brimming with it. I'm just bear with me, inshallah. I'm going to try and draw the talk to a close. As Maulana Abdullah Sahib is here, and he has gracefully agreed to make the dua, inshallah. So, you know, I don't want to prolong the talk too much, as obviously I need to be cognizant of his well-being and his health. So let us just focus. I'm going to mention one, two incidents and draw it to a close, inshallah. So anyway, what does he say? Ya Aba Dharrin, innaka mru'un fika jahiliyya. Ya Aba Dharrin, innaka mru'un fika jahiliyya. That, O Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, you have reverted to Islam, but that is the stench of ignorance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells them, put an end to it. They end it and it disappears. In the context of this argument, the victor was the Muhajir Sahabi. With utmost respect to his seniority. And we do not say it in any way in a condescending attitude. Because the Sahaba, we hold them with absolute respect and regard. Their elevated rank. One person gave a very beautiful advice. He said, three things we do not indulge in. Number one, the differences between scholars. We do not tarnish ourselves. Number two, the differences of our parents. Because if I look this way, it's Jannah. If I look that way, it's the door of Jannah. My mother is Jannah. My dad is Al-Walidu Awsatu Abwabil Jannah. Fa in shayta hafidh ala dhalika al-bab wa in shayta da. And the third is, oh boy, that you ever blurt anything regarding the Sahaba. If you blurt anything regarding the Sahaba, the consequences are catastrophic. So we do not say it in any way negatively, with utmost respect to the rank of Sahaba. Anyway, in the context of this argument, this Sahabi Jahjah radiallahu anhu, he had somehow inflicted certain pain and difficulty on the Ansari Sahabi. Now this is what I want to draw your attention to. Look at the fabric of that society. And look at the fiber of that community. And look at the building blocks of that environment. When this happened, and this was now creating a bit of bitterness, unpleasantness, they were in travel. So the Muhajir Sahabi said this, Abdullah bin Ubay, who was a munafiq, who was waiting on the wings to exploit, يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. So he was not a Muslim, but because he was a resident of Medina, he associated himself with the Ansar, and he claimed his allegiance to the inhabitants of Medina. He said, you see these muhajirin, you see what they're doing. The problem is you're giving them too much money. The problem is you're feeding them too much. هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ لَا تُنْفِقُوا عَلَى مَنْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Ubadah bin Samit radiyallahu anhu, when he heard this happening, there's two camps, there's division, there's bickering, there's gossip, there's discussions, there's agendas, there's plotting, there's conniving, there's mysterious operations. These things are happening behind. Ubadah bin Samit radiyallahu anhu, he went to Sinan ibn Wabira radiyallahu anhu. He said, listen, my brother, I know you're a victim, and I know you have a right to retort, and I know you have a right to defend. I have come to you in the broadest spirit of the ummah, and I have asked you, forgive your brother Jahjah radiyallahu anhu, so this can be nipped in the bud and nothing ugly perpetuates from you. Today, if I come to know, I will go drop him my legal card and tell him we can sue for defamation of character. We can go for the jugular. We can go for the kill. Here we can sue him on multiple fronts. We can take him to the cleaners. And you'll walk home with, you just need to sign one document and you leave it. I'll go through the litigation process. But the makeup and the demographics of that society was so pristine and pure that these were the spirits with which they went forward. One incident, one ayah, and then we wrap up. Somebody comes to ask me for forgiveness. Somebody comes to ask me for forgiveness. What is my duty in forgiving him? I've given you multiple anecdotes to motivate you to pardon. Ibn Asakir's narration, Allahu Akbar. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, Ataytu Jami' al-Basra. I came to Masjid Basra, the big masjid in Basra, And I found that they were a group of Sahaba, يَتَذَاكَرُونَ زُهْدَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. They're discussing the rich legacy of Abu Bakr and Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. فَدَنَوْتُ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. I came close to them. فَإِذَا فِيهِمْ الْأَحْنَفْ إِبْنِ قَيْسْ التَّمِيمِ. In that group was Ahnaf ibn Qais al-Tamimi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Ahnaf ibn Qais al-Tamimi, look at the beauty of this gathering, the richness of its discussion. What are they talking? They're talking of Abu Bakr and Umar and the richness of their legacy. Imagine you walk by a group of youngsters and they're speaking about the pious. Oh, may Allah expose our ears to that. Today, unfortunately, if tragically you have to walk by, you will be appalled by the obscene and vulgarity that would be blurted in that gathering. It's almost like some youngsters cannot speak clean, pure, candid language. I told you, I've mentioned this, we were in London, and this brother put on the navigation and we're going. So he said, Sheikh, do you know this navigation gives you the option of vulgar language? I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. I'm like, relax, brother. He says, no, Sheikh, you need to hear this. I'm like, no. He says, listen, it just gives the youth a kick. It gives them a thrill, right? So it doesn't say, take a U-turn when possible. Hey, you mate, you better. Wow. How dare I swear, right? So it gives you the instructions in a provocative language. It incites you. I'm saying, can society stoop so low that we're almost designing our gadgets and our device with wicked language in it just to generate revenue, and it's a thrill for a young man? So it's all loud, it's aggressive, it's bitter, it's all the slang, and it's just like pushing you to the limits. It's not like take a U-turn or you know, avoid the traffic, keep to your right, avoid the left, or be conscious, you know, observe, be, you know, follow road signals. No, in absolute vulgar. The same thing in just vulgar. Now, can you imagine what happens? One scholar said, you listen to vulgar, then you wish to utter vulgar, and then you want to exhibit and display and act vulgar. So you listen to it first, then you want to articulate it, then you want to display it. لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفحشا. The Nabi of Allah didn't listen to it, nor did he utter it. Some people will never swear, but they don't mind sitting where people are swearing. They don't mind. And they say the Gujarati vulgar is the worst. Right? They say that you know, Al-Aman wal-Hafiz. It just starts off. The polite is also crude. The polite is also crude. There is nothing like euphemistic words in it. May Allah save one and all. So anyway, Ahnaf ibn Qais al-Tamimi says, أخرجنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه في سرية إلى العراق. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu sends us in an expedition to Iraq. He's narrating it. Hasan Basri says, Ibn Asakir has recorded this. ففتح الله علينا العراق وبلد فارس. Allah gave us victory in Iraq, Persian cities. فأصبنا فيها من بياض فارس وخراسان. We had a lot of spoils of war, a lot of booty, a lot of wealth came. فجعلناه معنا واكتسينا منها. We brought it back with us, and some of the garments that we received, we decided to clad ourselves with it. So we were ecstatic, we were elated, all is good that Allah gave us victory, we cladded ourselves with it. We came to Medina happy to tell Umar that Allah gave us victory. Allah gave us victory. We walk into the masjid and we wearing this beautiful clothes and this beautiful robe. أَعْرَضَ عَنَّا بِوَجْهِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَا يُكَلِّمُنَا. Umar radiallahu anhu gave us a cold shoulder. He ignored us blatantly. He didn't even look in our direction. فَاشْتَدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This became very difficult. Now this was the beauty of Sahaba. And let me say to you, young boy, that today many a youth would just blatantly ignore their parents. If the old man is not happy, tough luck. Who cares? In our slang, they say he can fly kites. Right? Karim Rahman is laughing. He's identifying with the South African lingo there. That's what a typical young man would say. No, he can fly kites. Take a kite and fly. Meaning, it doesn't, I don't care. When the Sahaba returned, and they did everything, and Sayyidina Umar didn't receive them, فَاشْتَدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ They said, but why? What did we do wrong? So immediately, they left there, and they went to Abdullah ibn Umar. فَشَكَوْنَا إِلَيْهِ مَا نَزَلَ بِنَا مِنَ الْجَفَاءِ مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ We said, oh Abdullah, you, that's your father Umar, you know your father, a chip of the old block, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. You know your dad better than we know him. You know, we came back, Allah gave us victory, we went and greeted your dad so beautifully, he just gave us a cold shoulder. Now a daughter-in-law will say that, you know, I greet my mother-in-law, but Mari ho tumara gami jo echni. My mother-in-law won't look at me, or vice versa. Subhanallah, what did Abdullah ibn Umar say? His finger was on the pulse. He said, Inna Amir al-Mu'mineen ra'a alaykum libasan lam yara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yalbasuhu. You want to know why? Yeah, tell us why. The reality is, my father seen you wearing clothing that he never saw the Nabi of Allah wearing in his whole life. So my father's eyes couldn't digest that dress of yours. Now this was Sahaba. No, but what's wrong? But Umar wasn't there in Iraq. But why can Umar tell us that? It's easy for Umar to disagree. We went, it's our muscle, we did it. No, Sahaba didn't argue. Okay, no problem. Jazakallah. فَأَتَيْنَا مَنَازِلَنَا فَنَزَعْنَا مَا كَانَ عَلَيْنَا وَأَتَيْنَاهُ فِي الْبِزَةِ الَّتِي أَيْ فِي الثِّيَابِ الَّتِي كَانَ يَعْهِدُنَا فِيهِ No problem. Jazakallah. We came home, we took off our clothes, we put on our regular clothing, and we came back to Sayyidina Umar. Now this is what I want to say. Somebody comes to ask you for forgiveness. Look at the cleanliness of the hearts of Sahaba. فَقَامَ يُسَلِّمُنَا وَيُعَانِقُ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَّا حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَرَنَا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ Umar stood up, he greeted us, Assalamu alaikum, MashaAllah, how are you? With such a broad smile and a clean heart, as if nothing transpired before this. What's the message? I don't grudge you. I don't have a bone to pick with you. I don't have any differing issue with you. It was one quality that I was differing, not you. I don't hate you as a human. As soon as you rectified the issue, he greeted us like there was nothing. He greeted us like there was nothing. فَقَدَّمْنَا إِلَيْهِ الْغَنَائِمِ We then presented the spoils of the war. فَعُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْغَنَائِمِ سِلَانٌ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْخَبِيثِ مِّنْ أَصْفَرْ وَأَحْمَرْ In the food that we brought, we gave him some delicacy. We gave him some food. We said, eat this. فَذَاقَهُ عُمَرْ مولا اسماعیل صاحب میں ختم کر رہا ہوں حضرت میں دو منٹ میں اپنی بات کو ختم کر رہا ہوں فَذَاقَهُ عُمَرْ عُمَرْ رضی اللہ عنہ tasted the food فَوَجَدَهُ طِيبَ الطَّعْمِ طِيبَ الرِّيحِ It was very, very tasty. What did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? He said, don't give me this food. Must I tell you people something? They said, yes. He said, لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الطَّعَامُ لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الطَّعَامُ You know what's going to divide this ummah? You know what's going to split this ummah? It is the crave to procure delicacies like this. I see a bleak era that will dawn on this ummah. A child will slay his biological father and a sibling will kill his fellow brother just to procure amenities and scrumptious meals like this. Keep me free from this. I don't want to eat this food. Take it away from here. فَحُمِلَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلَادِ مَنْ قُتِلُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ He said, go give it to those who are the offspring of the veterans who were along the side of the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم. The last ayah and I conclude.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه.
Or you who believe, when you invited to the message of Allah to give you yuhyikum life in this world and akhirah, then hasten in the execution of the injunctions. Why? Wa'lamu, realize and understand. Anna Allah yahulu. Madarik al-Tanzil Allama Nasafi says, Anna Allah yumituhu. That today Allah gave you the opportunity, stand up and forgive your brother, embrace your sibling, embrace your fellow neighbor. Otherwise, Allah will become a barrier between you and the execution of that intention. That's what Allah says. So do it now. Either Allah will bring in Bayanul Quran, it's mentioned in Ma'riful Quran, either Allah will bring a sickness and you'll be paralyzed. Or Allah will bring instant death and you'll never meet the man to apologize. Or Allah will snatch the desire to patch up, you'll meet the man but you'll never have the ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we take this message forward. In English they say, it is always better to forgive and forget than to hate and remember. It is always better to forgive and forget than to hate and remember. Again, I want to put my gratitude to the organization and to this masjid for hosting me and inviting me. May Allah reward you for your kind words, and to all the brothers that have sat here so patiently and afforded me your attention and have sat here, Allah Ta'ala reward you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible that each one of us internalize that message and we execute it. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.